Paul Tanco, we love it when you show up here. Democrat of New York's 20th District. Paul, I have to say, I can't open a paper. I can't listen to the television or the radio without seeing your face. How do you do it?
I don't know. I guess if you appear at enough things, they just happen to transfer that over to the media world. But, you know, I think it's so important to interact with the people that have placed trust in you to be their voice in Washington or at any level. So I enjoy the interaction with the folks and having them inform us of what's important to them and hear their solutions.
And you don't mind taking a tough position, which some politicians will. So for example, we're talking about pipelines crisscrossing, you know, all over the place. And people, you know, think, well, I don't want a pipeline on my land. I don't want a pipeline next to me. What if it blows up? Mm-hmm. And then you've been right there.
Yeah, I think it's important to make certain that we work on behalf of constituents' needs. And, you know, whether it's rail or pipe that is the line that transports these energy resources, we have got to have a long-range plan here to wean us from that gluttonous thirst for fossil-based fuels. And there needs to be an energy component to this discussion that takes us out into the decades. Otherwise, we'll continue this reliance on fossil-based fuels and have the whole challenge of carbon emission that surrounds us.
So, Paul Tanco, let me ask you this. You are the expert on so many things environmental in the United States Congress. You were in the legislature before. You're the go-to guy when it comes to a lot of this. You know, we're paying very little money for gas right now.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't appear to the casual observer that we need more, which is the argument about the people who are trying to, you know,
well, it does. It does. That whole dynamic makes it tough to have a sound discussion on alternate energy resources and innovation that should be part of the process. It does make a challenging situation, but I think that, you know, we've been through these ebbs and flows before, and we're beholden to fewer and fewer major corporations that are part of the dynamic that determine internationally what we pay for our fuel. And again, if we have diversity in the mix, if we have clean energy and entering into the fold, then we're all the sounder, I think, as a community, as a society, and certainly as a people that needs to have a very deliberate plan as to how we move forward with our energy needs.
Okay, so if I'm paying, you know, almost nothing for gas, mm-hmm, compared to what I used to pay, I went out and I bought a Prius, and mm-hmm, I get great mileage. Are we being set up, is my question. Do the oil companies and others say, okay, we'll give them a break for a while? Sorry to sound like a conspiracy nut.
But the cartel does control that whole supply and demand side of it all. And, you know, it's interesting. It's even impacted our transportation trust fund because, sure, you know, we've had people driving much more efficient cars, and it's about the volume of gasoline consumed that really builds that trust fund. So even there, we are challenged to come up with better ways to do things.
What should we do? Should we raise the taxes on gas?
Well, you know, the overall price of fuel in your travel,
yeah,
has probably dropped over the years because of your more,
sure,
efficient car. And it is a challenge, and it is probably an option that we need to look more closely at.
But, of course, this is where profiles and courage,
mm-hmm,
become important. Because if you say to people, you know, we really do need to keep the potholes off of the roads, and we really do need to make sure that nobody goes in over a bridge and into the river, which did happen, I guess, in your district at one point, mm-hmm, years and years ago.
1987.
Then we're going to have to pay for it one way or the other. And somebody says, well, does that mean another 2 cents on my gas tax? And the answer is yes. And then they say, well, we hate you.
Right. Well, you know, again, it's about policy that is for the betterment of us as a people and for generations to come. And if that takes, you know, a profile and courage to use your words, then so be it. But it's about the soundness of policy and using tax policy as a way to provide the incentives that we require, not only for the resources we garner, but for the human behavioral aspect.
I want to change topics now and talk about water. And you have a bill about water. You want to tell us about it?
Sure. It's called Aqua. It's about reauthorizing the SRF, the State Revolving Fund. The way the federal government provides dollars to the states is through this SRF. They get their bulk monies from the federal government, and then the individual states release those dollars to various communities for their water, drinking water in this case, needs. And we have not reauthorized that fund since 1996. So 20 years have elapsed since we've reauthorized the fund. It goes through a hit and miss process called a continuing resolution, where we don't, we just keep the flow going for what the fund has been appropriated.
So we've been doing it, but we haven't been putting it into
a structured, guaranteed format. And we have not, it's been pretty much flatlined around $800 to $900 million a year. I believe right now we're at about a $963 million total. By the way, that total for the entire country for the Clean Drinking Water Fund is what Flint, Michigan, and its engineers have calculated is the need for them to repair their system. So one community could simply consume all the dollars we've committed. So we've put legislation together called AQUA, which will provide for reauthorization and also enhancement of the fund, taking it from this $800 to $900 million, $963 million at peak, to $3.1 billion in the first year, with 15% increases in five consecutive years, so that we end up with a $5.5 billion total.
So there's nothing like a wake-up call, and we sure have had wake-up calls.
Right, you know, and as soon as you introduce this legislation into the House, and by the way, I'm the ranker, I'm the top Democrat on the Subcommittee of Environment and Economy, which reports to Energy and Commerce as a standing committee. Under that umbrella of the subcommittee rests this Clean Drinking Water Fund. So it's a perfect assignment where you have a leadership role where you can advance the cause of putting federal dollars into the process.
Will the Republicans go along with it?
Well, I was going to say, as soon as I introduced it, great idea, costs too much. My response is, ask the people of Flint, Michigan.
Yeah, ask
the people of Troy, New York, Hoosick Falls. What is the cost of not doing something?
Lead in the kid's brain?
Yeah. So, you know, someone told me that there was this anecdote of a little boy in Flint who asked some people in the community, said, am I going to be dumber now because I drank this water? This is how these kids are processing this. And in some cases, there will be developmental impact on these children. In other cases, it's going to be simply stress that they're living with.
Worrying about it.
Yeah. I can tell you, you know, that I started my elected days in county government in Montgomery County.
Indeed.
Back then, we were getting a much greater revenue share, a percentage of the pie from the federal government. And today, it's about 4% of the total cost of our water projects that the federal share represents. That's grossly inadequate. The federal piece that we just did for our roads and bridges and our airports and all of that infrastructure that we can see, we're talking about hidden infrastructure with the water infrastructure, but that visible, tangible roads and bridges piece, we're about 28% of the price tag to communities. So our commitment to water funding has been very weak, very weak, and the feds need to do more.
So, Paul Tocco, I can't believe we're out of time because there's so much more to talk about all of this, but I think you're right about that. And one other last thing I want to say, and that is you said you're the ranker on the committee, but I'm sitting right next to you, right here. You don't smell bad.
Okay, so, thanks. Well, today's my good day, I guess.
Paul Tocco, thanks so much for being here with me.